Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
Good morning, everyone. God bless you. As I continue, as I said in Matthew chapter 7, we're at the very last two verses. We've preached from Matthew 1 to 7 now, looking forward to January when we begin the healing wonders of the Lord going through Matthew 8 and onwards. And so today's message I've entitled, Learning from the Word of the Lord. Learning from the Word of the Lord. We have to be learning from the Word of the Lord. Not just hearing it, but learning from it. We need to not just read it, but knowing it, learning from it. Do you know when you go to school, you're expected to learn, not just go, but learn. And this is what it's all about in this day. As we're in these last days, we've got to determine in our spirit, I'm going to learn from the word of the Lord. Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 to 29, I read from the New Living Translation. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teachings, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike their teachers or of religious law. I'm going to emphasize that a little bit later on, but I gave a second title to this, and it's, when should we go backwards? When should we go backwards? And I gave the answer, only to reflect, never to live there. Do you realize that the vehicle you drive has two side mirrors. But it has two large mirrors. But the one in the front is always larger than the one in the back. Now, the vehicle maker is not saying you shouldn't look back. He's got a mirror there for you. In fact, he's got two side mirrors, too, so you can even glance to the sides. But the mirror in the front is made quite large so we can do what? Focus which way? Forward. And so when we look at Jesus' words today, in Matthew chapter 7, it says, when he had finished these things, what are these things? We're going to review a few of them. Because you see, from Matthew 1 to 7, especially chapter 6 and 7, Jesus is preaching on the mount, and he is giving them the life lessons that they must never forget. So they've got to now look back for a little bit, glance back and say, what was Jesus teaching me? What did I miss? What did I not take in? Because it is healthy when we reflect. Reflecting is healthy. In the Old Testament, it prophesied the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to earth. And at that time, that concept was inconceivable. We take it for granted, but it was inconceivable to those in the New Testament. The Old Testament passages, such as Genesis 3:15, says that he will crush their heel. He'll crush the heel of Satan. In Isaiah 9:6, that unto us a child is born. Isaiah 7:14 prophesies the coming of the Christ child. And they're minor prophets. They all prophesied. So in Jesus' time, those teachers were remembering these prophecies, but they weren't looking forward to what would be coming. So while Jesus was walking amongst them in this time of the New Testament, the religious people, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, they would have known these prophecies. They would have studied these prophecies. They would have read these from the Torah. They knew that this was to happen, but they wanted to stay looking in the rearview mirror because they had determined how it should happen. They were not open to how God would do it. They wouldn't gauge it according to the newness of the time. They wanted to embrace the past, not embrace the future. That is what was happening in Matthew chapter 6 and 7 of all the hard sayings that Jesus did. And unfortunately, they were caught up with their own self-importance and their worldly knowledge, so they chose not to accept the Lord Jesus Christ who was walking among them. The Bible says the Word of God, the Word and Christ are one. So the Word was among them. The Word was totally visible before them, but they refused to accept the Word, which was Christ, because in their own mindset, in their own learning, in their own educational levels, in their own studies, they had made their determination of what Christ should look like when he comes. Folks, that was the biggest issue. They had not determined that Christ can come how God wants him. They wanted Christ to come how they wanted him. Are you with me this morning? And so they refused to accept the prophecies of the prophets and the kings and all that God rose up to navigate the future. And sometimes, folks, we don't realize that we're spending our time looking only in the rearview mirror for how it should have been rather than looking into the future for what is God saying, what is God doing, how is God moving, and how are we going to bring many into the kingdom at such a time as this. We're still doing what they did, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes. We don't recognize it, but that is the fact. So moving forward, folks, is healthier growth. It is healthier growth. There are certain times in our lives when we glance back, and we need to do that to see the wonders. I love when I can glance back and remember what Christ did in my life. I love when I can glance back and remember the prophetic voices over my life. When I look at the fact that I was in Air Canada for 10 years, working, loving it, climbing the ladder, loving the business sector, and traveling the world, and this woman comes at a prayer meeting and prophesies over me. I think I've told you that. She was not to be joked with. When that Mama Cisco prayed over you, whatever she prayed, we as kids knew it was going to happen. So she started praying, and God, when she lets go of this job to do what you called, I'm like, I ain't letting go of no job. I'm not in this. No. I opened my eyes. I thought, keep my eyes open. Do not affirm that prayer. I rejected the prayer, but she had such a touch of God on her life that when she prayed, we all feared her prayer. Why? Because she had a union with God. She saw things we didn't see. Now I look back, she's dead and gone. I can't tell her where I'm standing preaching this morning, but I can glance back and say, thank you, Mama Cisco, because what you saw and what you declared and what you prayed in, God has been doing. We have to sometimes glance back in our own lives and see how God has led us and say to ourselves, I need to learn more from here. The problem in the kingdom is that sometimes we want to stay on the knowledge only of that we gained in the past, but we should always want to be learning. And when Jesus was with the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they felt they knew everything because they had studied the Torah. So the revelation of the Torah was before them, but they refused to accept it. They rejected it because they felt, I've already learned everything I need to know, and I'm a teacher now. There is only one great teacher, and it is the Word himself, Jesus Christ, who is the Word. I've had the privilege of doing my theological studies in a variety of reputable biblical institutions. All these biblical institutes, I didn't go to them because I failed or I lacked. I went because I love learning. We should love learning. Christians should love learning. Folks, Christians should love learning. We should be a people that desire learning, that soak up learning, that exude learning. It's never in God's mindset that we stay in old philosophy and old dogma, but when the opportunity for advancement and enhancement comes, we must move forward because the world is moving forward and the church cannot die on an old stand. Can I hear an amen this morning? We represent the world, but we don't live as the worldly people. We should live above the worldly people. Do you realize the people of old who knew God in power, they were the ones who wrote the songs and the world would steal it. They're the ones who wrote the books and the world would steal it. In fact, when we look at all the marketing principles, it comes from Jethro, who was teaching Moses what to do. And people are making billions from the word of God. And the church is like, can't we do everything the way I knew how to do it? We've got to be learning consistently and showing the world how God is revealing new things in the way that it will represent the culture and the context and the time, much like Jesus did when he was on earth. I've built into my personal life, my Christian life, my ministry life, the lessons I've gleaned from many places. I'll highlight a couple of them for you. One of the Bible colleges I went to, Zion in Rhode Island, I learned the power and the operation of the Holy Spirit. And I watched the manifestation of the Spirit of God in that school fully active and the gifts of the Spirit fully flowing. And so now when I traveled the world, I incorporated that into my ministry life as I do here when I teach on the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit seminar. Why? Because I learned something that I had to implement and then learn how to do it greater in a new day. I went to Masters, Eastern Pentecostal Bible College in Peterborough. I learned to stay focused on my studies. Why was that so important? Because at that time, I was working part-time at Agent Court. I was in school in Peterborough, whipping down to Agent Court to work on the weekends. I had no time for foolishness. I studied, and then I was at work. I did that until for the last year of my Bible college. And when I focused on my study, I began to realize this is not a joke book. This is life. This is healing. This is deliverance. I studied at Tyndale here in North York, and I learned the finer points of studying in a Baptist seminary, the depth of the Word of God. See, sometimes we don't want to go deep in the Word. We want the, everybody gonna be happy. Jesus died to make you happy. Are you happy? You must be happy. Let me find a happy scripture. Oh, go to the concordance. Is there happy here? I think I'll find happy, get a happy word, and then preach everybody happy. Jesus didn't die just to make us happy. He died so that we would not go to hell. Happy. A festival will be a happy time. I could preach that. Be happy, those who are happy. Well, I could preach that. Everybody, if you're happy, be happy. So do I preach next week, if you're sad, be sad? Everything has to have context, so we go deep in the word. So when all hell breaks loose, that's when you preach. All hell's breaking loose on you, be happy in the Lord, because the Lord is your light and your salvation. The Lord is the strength of your life and your portion forever. Folks, when you get deep in the word, even in hell, the word will strengthen you and cause you to rise up so demons will tremble. I learned in Tyndale how to do that. But something else I learned in a Baptist seminary, I learned spiritual warfare from Dr. Roy Matheson. Dr. Roy Matheson is a Baptist theologian who taught a class on spiritual warfare. And I'll tell you, when I went into Africa for over 20 years, I didn't live on what I learned from some people who shouted at demons. I learned from someone who taught me how to quote the word to demons and let demons tremble. I studied at Fuller Seminary in Pasadena, California. What did I learn there? I learned the disciplines of orthodoxy. I had to go to 14 churches that were not Pentecostal to see how they operate as evangelical churches. Do you know what that did for me? Made me appreciate other people's disciplines and incorporate those disciplines into my Pentecostal life, because we don't have the corner on the market. There's going to be people going to heaven that we thought we sent to hell. Well, there are going to be a lot of Pentecostals going to hell that we thought were going to heaven. Somebody say a little amen this morning if you don't want me to double duty and amen myself. I sat in different types of churches. I don't have time to tell one, but I sat in a church where they knew we came from the seminary, and they do the one cup, and I don't do the one cup. We do the many cups. And so we said, no, no. I said, no, no, and I sat in the back. I said, no. And the deacon said, aren't you from the seminary? I said, yes, but we're not doing communion. He goes, everybody who knows Jesus does communion. And I'm thinking, not from that cup. So I sat in the back. When they were finished, they said, everyone has taken, and the deacon goes, nope, not back here. And so they called us up. I had to drink from that cup as the last person. I'm telling you, everything inside of me went, no, no. And then just went, and I'm like, no. But I learned the disciplines of orthodoxy that we need to incorporate into our life. I studied at Assemblies of God Theological Seminary in Springfield, Missouri, and I learned how to read 15 books per class. Why? Because when anyone wants to refute this word, I can take them to other places that make this word stand alive. So let me take you back to where I'm going this morning. The impact of Jesus' teaching, it pushes us forward. So Jesus' lesson in Matthew 6 and 7 was a reflection of where he had just taken them, bit by bit. And he's saying, glance backwards with me here so that you will have the revelation of how to look forward to what I'm saying and where we're going as a kingdom of God. So Matthew 6 and 7, Jesus is teaching, and it says, when Jesus finished these things, what things? When Jesus finished these sayings, what were the sayings? Well, we just went through them, so we're going to do a review today, because if we don't glance back and grab the lessons, then we're just doing this in futility. The reason I shared with you the many different biblical institutions that I went to is I want you to know I had to learn, had to learn, had to learn, had to learn. We need to learn how to learn, how to learn, so that we're living the word, not just saying we're Christians. Matthew 6, verse 1 to 4, the right motive for giving. But when you give to someone in need, don't let your left hand know what your right hand's doing. Give your gifts in private, and your Father who sees everything will reward you. That was preached in the text on giving, that as we're giving in this Christmas season, don't give lavishly so somebody can acclaim you. Give so God can look down and say, that was a good heart. Matthew 6, verse 5 to 8, the right motive for praying. When you pray, don't babble on and on as Gentiles do. They think their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. And we preached this on a whole week, the week of prayer. We preached on the right motive of praying. When you pray, folks, it's not how you pray. That's why we said in the Lord's Prayer, it doesn't say, Lord, teach us how to pray. It says, teach us to pray. Every person can pray. As long as you got a tongue and you can speak, you can pray. It's not how eloquent you are, O thou Lord God of heaven. It's not that. It's Jesus, help me. That makes the difference. Every person can pray. And when we have our week of prayer in January, I'm looking forward to seeing this place filled, because we are in a desperate time. It's not a time to play games. It's not a time for joke. It's a time for the church to look like the church and be a healing center and a prayer house. My house shall be called a house of prayer. People should be coming from over by the casino and going, can you pray for me? I lost everything. And we will pray them back into their right senses so that they begin to honor God with what he has blessed them with. Matthew 6, verse 9 to 13, that is where the model prayer is. Lord, teach us to pray, to pray. Can I just repeat that? Teach us to pray. So many people are like, oh, I wish I could pray like you. No, don't wish that, because if you want to pray like me, you better be ready to go through hard knocks. You better be able to get some whip up, whip down, whip back. You got to be able to get people slapping you in the face, upside, downside, all around side. You want to pray like me, you better get ready for some beating that causes you to get on your face and say, Jesus, if you want to pray like somebody else, you better be able to take on their pain. If not, just pray. Just pray. Give God thanks. Begin with giving God thanks for what he has done for you. Is anybody with me this morning? Ooh. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. This is the message on watch wealth and fear prosperity. Why? Verse 21. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. You'll be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. The world is enslaved to money. And Jesus was teaching the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, who had a tier of who was important, who wasn't, that they will not make it into the kingdom of heaven because of their money. You're going to make it because of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So folks, you can go back and see all of these messages. They're all online. Matthew 6, verse 25 to 34, never worry. Don't live in anxiety. Verse 34, don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Folks, what is the problem of our world today? People are living in anxiety. Anxious, anxious, anxious. And the church folks are starting to represent the world rather than show the world how Christ is enough. He says, don't worry about tomorrow. Now, he doesn't say throw everything aside and behave like a fool. Jesus was teaching them, listen. He says, if I could feed the sparrow, if I could look after the bird, will I not so much look after you? Folks, we've got to start living it so people look at us and are jealous of who we are. They should be jealous because they're like, what on earth is going on? You are poor like a church mouse and you look so rich. And you're going, yeah, well, go to church like a church mouse and you will be rich too. That is what makes the difference. We represent the kingdom. Matthew 7, verse 16, watch the standards and be cautious. Verse 3, why worry about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? That was what Matthew 7, verse 1 to 6 was sharing. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 6. Do you realize the definition of hypocrisy? What is it? The definition of hypocrisy is when you spend your life seeing the speck in everybody else's eyes. Meanwhile, you've got logs and boulders in yours. Do you know why Jesus points this out? Because that is the destroyer of the church. And it has been from Jesus' day till now. Folks, be careful that you don't look at the own problems in your own life before trying to find some in somebody else. You notice he says, you're trying to find a speck in somebody else's. And you've got what? Talk to me, a what? A boulder, a log in your own. And Jesus condemns this type of behavior because it is destructive to the kingdom of God and it's repulsive to the world. Because people in the world can read it faster than people in the church. Let's move on. Matthew 7, verse 1 to 11. I love this. It's the key to good praying. First he says, teach us to pray. Then he says, here's a key also. Keep on asking, you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. That message is online. Go back and take it in over this Christmas season. Because some of you need to keep on asking. And some of you have been knocking, but he says what? Keep on knocking. Don't give up because the enemy whispers to you, God isn't answering. No, tell the devil, God has not answered yet. But I know who my God is. And I know in his due season, it shall be according to his promise. Purposes over my life. Declare the word so the enemy knows I'm not afraid of you, devil. I know who you are, and guess why you're bothering me? You know who I am. Oh, glory to God. Matthew 7, verse 12. Never ignore the greatest rule. Do to others whatever you would like them to do to you. This is the essence of all that is taught in the law and the prophets. All these are Jesus' words. In all of these messages, Jesus is saying to them, do you remember all these things I taught you? Go live it. It wasn't just a message. It wasn't just a moment. It is a life change that will cause the earth to stand still and people to recognize it's time to serve the Lord. Oh, glory to God. In Matthew 7, verse 13 to 14, there's only two choices. Verse 13, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. The highway to hell is broad and its gates wide for the many who choose that way. And we saw that throughout Matthew 6 and 7, Jesus is always saying there's two choices, there's two choices, there's two roads, there's two gates, there's two ways. He's always saying it's your choice. Don't you think God should take choice away from us because we have not done well with it? But that's what other religions do. God does not remove choices. He says, I want you to choose me, choose my way, and choose what? My word. My word. Two ways. Matthew 7, verse 15 to 20. Watch the false voices. Be cautious. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Folks, the only way that we can turn is by the blood of Jesus Christ, salvation. But salvation requires sanctification. Online, it's not just salvation. It's also the process of sanctification. We've got to move closer to Jesus, not just say I'm saved and I can live as I want, do as I want, and do anything that pleases me. His word becomes life when we live it out, and God then begins to bear fruit when others see the word is meaningful to us. Let me go on. Matthew 7, verse 21 to 23. Watch the false pretense be real. Not everyone, this was a message I preached 2 weeks ago. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. This one, I want some people to go back and listen to, because I don't want you to spend your life going to church or spend your life online telling people you're saved when one day when Jesus returns and you hear, I don't know you. This is the word of Jesus Christ. And if you want him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, then prepare your life, learn from the word, so that when you stand at the gate of heaven, he will say what? Say what? Well done. Who? Good and faithful servant. He never said bad and hateful servant. He said good and faithful. Let's remember that. Matthew 7, 24 to 27. Pastor Dennis preached this last week. Don't be fluid, be solid. But anyone who hears my teaching and doesn't obey it is foolish. Like a person who builds a house on sand, when the rains and the floods come and the winds beat against the house, it will collapse with a mighty crash. This is the word of the Lord. Folks, we are not in this as a game. This is real. It is real. His word is life. It is real. I know the world doesn't see it as real, but the church must see it as real. It's unchangeable. He's not going to say, oh, you were in 2022, so we kind of fixed it for 2022. You know, the others who were martyred for this word, okay, well, so they were martyred, but for you, it's 2022, you can do as you please. You had COVID, you can live how you want. And the last thing, Matthew 7, 28 to 29, my message today is glance backward, walk forward. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, for he taught with real authority, quite unlike the teachers of the religious law. Quite unlike them. Did you hear that? When Jesus was finished teaching, the crowd said, this is not like those who just studied it. This is the one who has learned it. So we too must learn it. See, the ignorance of the people then and now, when Jesus was speaking these messages, the multitudes were listening. His words were powerful and it was impactful. But secularization had a dominance on the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, religious teachers. Their thinking was about what they wanted to accomplish by God's word, not how they wanted to live through God's word and because of God's word. They didn't want to embrace the kingdom of God. They didn't want to accept the truth. They didn't want to understand the Messiahship in the way God sent him. All they wanted was to do their religious duty before the people. And so they became teachers of the law, not teachers of the word. Folks, the point of Jesus' teaching was a call for obedience to God's word. Obedience to God's word. Many in that day denied the authority of God. And when you deny the authority of Jesus Christ, you deny the authority of God. When you deny the authority of Jesus' word, the word which is flesh, the word which is the Lord Jesus Christ, when you deny the authority of what was written by Jesus himself, which was spoken by Jesus and written by the scribes, when you deny the authority of it, you've made a choice, and it's not a choice of obedience. One teacher, I quoted him before, Dr. Kahn, he says, partial obedience is still disobedience. And he says this, denial is also disobedience. Denial is also disobedience. So Jesus taught with real authority, and they said it, but they didn't want to accept him the way Christ sent him. It's so, I can identify, you know, not with Jesus, but just with life. Do you know, it's kind of strange. Don't you find it strange sometimes you've got a black female pastor in a pretty large pulpit? It's like, that's a strange bit for Jesus to do. It's like, I'll use who I want to use, how I want to use them. We sometimes don't like the package, but we still need to judge by the Spirit. That's what makes the difference. When we look back at Jesus' story, the Christmas story, it's revealing the Christ to come. And if we don't want to accept the Christmas story, we will not accept the Christ to come. If we don't want to accept the word preached, read, you have it yourself in many different versions, many Bibles in your home, read it, but don't just read it. He who reads the word is just a reader. He who learns from the word becomes a child of God. Folks, we're in a strange day. I want to declare to you, I'm preparing for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to see this church full to overflowing with sinners who are coming to be saved by grace. Oh, God, when you think about what's going on in Ontario, in Canada, in North America, we're not here to be Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes. We're here to be children of God that so infect and affect others that wherever they see us, I want to go with you. Where do you go? I want to come with you. They need to feel the power of God coming through us. And over this Christmas season, as you celebrate Christ's baby, would you celebrate the Christ story? We gotta have to live it out loud, folks. Gonna have to live it out loud. We've been saying it for a long time, but that doesn't cut it anymore. Where's the world? Where's the world at? Where's our children at? Where's our children's children at? Where are your grandchildren gonna be? Where are your great-grandchildren gonna end up? What hell will they be in? They're seeing every side of the coin. Can you show them Jesus through your life? Can you show them the Jesus story through who you are? Looking back, look back at baby Jesus. Look forward to the coming Christ. Are you prepared for Christ coming? Because we're preparing for Christmas. Christmas is just a glance back. Let the big mirror show you the future, Christ coming. We're so hung up on Christmas, we forget it's just a glance back. The story is about the coming Savior. That's what the Christ story is about. So as I conclude today, I ask you this question. If salvation is the key to the future, are you ready to bring others into what you have? Or if you have not accepted Christ, are you ready to accept the Lord? I have a closing cry this morning. The worship team's gonna sing this famous song that I love. I love it. And I'm gonna ask you, you're gonna do something strange. And there are a few people who may not be able to stand just because of their body, but you will stand in your heart. But I want every able-bodied person who says, I have decided to follow Jesus and I am determined. I'm determined to learn His word. Not about my preaching. Because sometimes I could tell you to read a passage and you didn't even hear me, but the word spoke to you fully well. But I'm determined. See, next week we're celebrating Christmas, and the week after it's Christmas Sunday, or we're going to have service on Christmas Eve instead. You'll be in your homes, but will the word be in your heart? Because it's like, are you not having church on Easter, Christmas Sunday? Why? Because you don't have the word in your heart? Yes, we come together to fellowship. But more than that, can we live the word out loud so others can feel it rather than just hear it? So as I ask you this question, would you make a declaration to yourself? It is not to me. It is not to the church. Online, you're alone, or maybe you're with your family. It's not to them. You're saying, Jesus, I have decided. I will glance back, but I won't turn back. Because there's going to be a lot of people who are going to turn back. But I'm making a declaration, no turning back. Lord, as we have gone through these books of Matthew chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're learning from Jesus what matters. God, help us to do it and to do it right and to do it out loud. Help us to do it so the world sees that we are serious about what we are professing. Oh God, help us to live it out, not just say it out. That the world will know Jesus is coming back. Many are buying gifts for people they hate. Many are angry they have to buy gifts. Oh God, the Christmas season has become, oh God, a commercialized thing for many to become wealthy and for families to feel pain. But that's not what you came for. You came that we might have life, life more abundantly, and that we would prepare our lives for the coming of the Savior. So help us as the church to demonstrate what really matters, and that is to live out the Word of God. We commit to this Word, which is a double-edged sword, cuts to the dividing of soul and spirit, brings life and healing and deliverance and power, and walks us through every journey, and takes us from level to level and glory to glory. We commit to this word in the name of Jesus. And everyone this morning said, amen, 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 and amen.
If you enjoyed today's episode and feel called to support and give to PPC, you can head over to our website at ppclife.ca, where you can give, you can get involved, and you can find out more information about our church. We cannot wait to hear from you. God bless.